We're Lancer Radio, streaming 24/7 at lancerradio.org. You're at the Over Coffee with Dot Cannon. What if your dream is to make a living as any kind of an artist? An actor, a musician, game designer, so forth and so on? Author and speaker C.C. Chapman has some good suggestions for you. C.C. knows all about setting goals and achieving them, or as he says in his new book, Amazing Things Will Happen, climbing mountains and crossing finish lines. He's a professional content creator, speaker, and marketer. C.C., suppose somebody wants to be what you are, a professional creative, working artist of any kind. Let's take that as a premise and apply some of the principles in your book. Where do you go from there?
I think the hardest, it's not an easy thing, first and foremost. I mean, realize that it's hard not to be a starving artist, no matter what your art is. And I think one of the cornerstone things I try to explain in the book is that you've got to choose your path. You have to know where you're trying to get to. What does it mean to do what you're doing and make a living at it? You know, each of us has different, you know, what I need to live versus what you need to live versus what one of our listeners needs to live is different. And I think, you know, choosing the path and knowing, you know, well, this is what I need to get to. This is what success is like for me is the first step you need to really embrace, because then all the planning, all the hustle, all the hard work is getting towards that goal. But if you don't first set that goal in place and choose the path that you're going to walk down, I don't think you can ever get there. I think it's impossible.
Define success and say what you need. That sounds like a great start. Then what do you do?
Then you work. Then you work a lot. You work every single day. You hustle. You obviously you need to sit down and figure out what the steps are. You know, like right now, I mean, just yesterday, I've got a lot of things going on, different projects, and I cleaned up my whiteboard, and I wrote down the headings of each of the projects or companies and stuff, and just started writing down underneath, okay, here's the things I need to get done. And some of them are very tactile, very, you know, update website, update copy, but other things are like, find people who would be interested. That's more, you know, open-ended, and I think you need a list of those tasks. Because then you can all of a sudden, once you have the list, then you can start prioritizing, figuring out, okay, this is the one I got to do first. I got to get some skills here. Maybe I need some help there. And, you know, by having that task list, you start breaking things down and you can actually focus and get things done. And that's the hardest part is doing the work isn't sexy or fun, but you've got to put in the blood, sweat, and tears if you want to succeed.
And I really like your notebook idea in your book. I wish you'd talk a little bit about that and how that works into writing things down.
Yeah, so I'm a total tech gadget guy. Sitting here, I can see tons of gadgets. I've got the iPad, the phones, all kinds of gadgets. I love technology. But I think that writing things down in a physical, good old-fashioned paper notebook is important. And no, it doesn't matter what kind of notebook. I know some people get very elite about notebooks. I'm like, whatever you got. But I'm a big fan of one that fits in your pocket, so you can have it with you wherever, or something that's small that you can throw in your purse, your backpack. And by being able to write things down, I don't know, at least for me and I think for most people, it's much more binding almost when you write it down, because you have to write it down and you can doodle and you can draw lines and sketch. And yes, I know there's applications to do that on my iPad, but it's not tactile enough for me. And I save my notebooks and I go back every so often and just flip through them and see, you know, oh, I remember when I was doing that. And I just think more people need to use a notebook, use a physical notebook, and carry it with them everywhere, because you never know when some random idea is going to come. And we all know we have that dream or we have that idea in the car. You shouldn't stop and write down your car, but you got to write it down. Otherwise, you lose it, and you may never get it back again.
What's one of the best random ideas or one of the best things you've learned about achieving your own goals from your own notebook?
I've learned that I have a habit of saying the same thing multiple times. I was at an airport and I had a flight delay and I started flipping through the notebook that I had with me. And it was funny because I saw a task that I've been meaning to do for a long time. Like, and I saw it on several different to-do lists. I'm like, you know what, CC, you really should get that done. And unfortunately it hasn't been done yet. I mean, to be honest, as I'm thinking about this, I haven't done it yet. So maybe after I get off this phone call, maybe I'll actually do it. Cause it's a simple thing. I just need to call somebody and schedule something. But I notice I do that a lot where I'll write down the same idea several times and then go, you know what, I need to do that. So if I've written it down more than once, it probably needs to get done.
It's interesting how unaware we are of our patterns until we look at a big picture, and it sounds like a notebook is a perfect tool for doing that.
I agree. No, I think it definitely is, and you start learning, you know, plus you take things like you learn how to take notes differently, you know, you figure out what your style is, you know, it's not one right or wrong way, and I think that's a yeah, you write it down, you start seeing how you do things, and it tells a lot about a person, how they take their notes, too. I think it's fun to look. I love looking at other people's notebooks. Love it.
You're sharing your Thursday afternoon with Lancer Radio at lancerradio.org. And this is Over Coffee with Dot Cannon. As author C.C. Chapman points out, life doesn't come with an instruction manual. Good thing, because most of us wouldn't read it anyway. And C.C. has written something a lot more interesting for you to read. His new book, Amazing Things Will Happen, is all about living the life you want and being successful, which might not have anything at all to do with how much money you make or what kind of a car you're driving. C.C.'s own experiences as content creator and social media professional led to the lessons he shares in Amazing Things Will Happen, which he says is a book he has wanted to write his entire life. At the very core of your book, you have two principles, and I really like these, but would also play the devil's advocate here. You say, work hard, be kind, amazing things will happen.
Yep.
What if you're in a real super cutthroat environment? How do you avoid people, well, basically eating you alive if you do that?
Well, I mean, that depends. I mean, yes, you know, the snake gets ahead. The snake does succeed, and there's always going to be those people. I just think living a happier life is one where you are good to other people, and someone asked me this recently, and I said, listen, I didn't write a book for the snakes and the wolves, and there's plenty of books out there for those sort of people. And I think if that's the environment, if it's the right environment for you, if that is truly the environment that you enjoy, you have to be a little cutthroat. And I've been in that situation, and I realized it wasn't for me, and I had to leave it. There are certain environments that I'll never be able to play or work in just because I hate that game, and I refuse to play the game by somebody else's rules, and I would advise other people to do that as well.
You do also include a chapter, though, on dealing with the snakes and the wolves, which we'll call them that for this broadcast purpose. What are some of the tips that you offer?
Yeah, I think the key thing is you need to realize that there will always be people in this world that don't agree with what you have to say or what you're doing, and, you know, part of being happy with your life is embracing the fact that those people are going to exist, and realizing that, you know what, you are always, always, always going to have people challenging you if you're doing something a little different. And the sooner that you can just sort of go, you know what, I hear what they're saying, but I'm going to ignore it. Or I hear what they're saying, and I'm not going to respond to it. That's a key thing. Because the minute you respond to these people, you're validating them. You're giving them what they want in some situations. And, you know, we talk about don't feed the trolls. You know, that happens a lot, where if they get a reaction from you, they want more, and they'll come back for more. But, and it's not easy to ignore people. I mean, I have it happen every single day. Somebody will say something, I'll, you know, my gut reaction is to, you know, yell back at them. And I'm like, wait, that doesn't ever help anybody. And it's taken me years to really, truly get good at that. And it's something you have to put into practice. Just like anything else, if you want to get better at it, if you want to get better at dealing with those people that are against you, you just, you know, turning the other cheek is not an easy thing to do. But the more you do it, the easier it gets.
It does sound like a learned skill, especially if the person who's saying, oh, this will never work, is close to you, like somebody in your family.
Yeah, it's a challenge. And that's the difference, too. If it's a complete stranger, you don't have to worry about it. I mean, I saw there's this Brené Brown. She's an amazing woman and a great author. And she was recently, I saw her speak, and she talked about, you know, you should only get stressed out by those people who have earned the right to question you. And I went, you know what, that's such a good way of putting it, because when it is somebody close to you, it is tough. But usually, most times, if they're truly close to you and somebody you care about, they're challenging you out of love and care. They're, you know, is that a good idea? When my wife says, is that the best idea? She's asking because she's genuinely concerned rather than just challenging me. And it is a difficult thing. I mean, my parents don't understand what I do for a living, and, you know, but they've accepted that I'm happy and I can provide for my family, so it's okay with them. But in the early days, they did. They questioned me, and, you know, we would talk about things, and sometimes you have to come to a, you know, you're going to agree to disagree. I mean, you can't make everybody happy.
Your parents sound like amazing people. In your book, your dad has that one concept of idle well, I believe.
Again, a funny story about that. So my dad reads the book, and my dad was a huge influence on my life. And I love the fact that he doesn't remember saying that. So this idle well concept is, I tell the story of me and my dad kicked back in the Boundary Waters on a canoe trip, and he made this comment about, oh, I love that we can idle well. And it hit home for me, the concept of just, you know, just unplugging, just kicking back, doing nothing, not even listening to music, just sort of being, just sort of chilling. And my dad, he's like, I love it. All these things I've said to you over the years, and this one sticks with you, and I don't even remember saying it. So as a parent with kids of my own, I wonder what's going to stick with them in the future.
What have you seen so far of what you've taught your children that you say in your book that is kind of sticking with them, they're growing up with it?
I think it's a lot of fun. I mean, my kids do embrace the fact that, you know, and we live and breathe the fact that they get to do what they want with their lives. And they're an interesting age. They're 14 and 12. So they're starting to really think about, you know, what are they going to do with their future? And, you know, it's funny because my kids every so often will bring something up, you know, whether it's bending the rules or, you know, choosing your own path. And every so often when they bring it up, it's funny because I have to stop. Sometimes it's challenging because they're challenging me or my authority. And I have to stop and realize, wow, they're living like you want them to. So you have to kind of bite your tongue and have a good discussion. But they're growing up faster than I ever imagined. That's for sure.
I can see a kid having a really good time with bending the rules.
Oh, yeah, because we all do it, right? I mean, you go through those teenage years and you rebel. And I know my kids are right on the edge of starting to do that. And I'm waiting because I know at some point, because they both read the book, and I know at some point they're going to, like, quote back to me. And I'm just going to have to stop, kind of grin at them and go, man, you got me. I can't say anything back.
And in another 20 years, they'll probably be writing books and you'll say, I said that? That's brilliant, but I don't remember it.
It's so fun. It still makes me smile when my dad, every time I, because a lot of people ask me about that, about my dad and stuff, and, you know, he remembers some of it, but he just, yeah, you never, as a parent, I've learned that you don't know what's going to stick with the kids. I mean, some of my memories of growing up, you know, it's the random things, it's the little moments, and it's usually not the big ones. And as a parent now, I worry. I'm like, you know, especially when it's something bad, like you screw up or you say something you wish you hadn't, and you just pray, that doesn't stick with the kids 20 years down the road. So it'll be, if they do ever write a book, it'll be interesting.
And welcome back to Over Coffee. It's a gorgeous day. It's great to have you with me today. And we're talking about the future. Author C.C. Chapman describes his new book, Amazing Things Will Happen, as not only a real-world guide to success and happiness, but as he plans his future, he describes his books as sharing of the advice, lessons, and mentorship he himself has received. CC has a highly successful career doing what he loves. He's a professional content creator, a speaker, and a social media and IT consultant. And if you're working towards the day when your full-time job is something you really love to do, the concepts in his book were written with you in mind. We looked together at several of the principles CC discusses in Amazing Things Will Happen. What is the concept of hallway magic that you discuss in Amazing Things Will Happen?
Yes, I'm a firm believer that, you know, you never know the person you're talking to, standing next to, or walking past on the street, who they might be. And I have this concept of hallway magic that I first really discovered at this big conference called South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, where you can just stand in a hallway and you start crossing paths with people or you bump into somebody and you never know where that's going to lead. And I've had some pretty amazing experiences where someone I met in line to buy a coffee or sat next to in a conference, you know, turns out, you know, we have similar friends or similar interests, and years down the road we might do something together business-wise or cross paths again personally. And it's one of those things that I don't think enough people just say hi to strangers. And, you know, that's where every friendship begins, right? I mean, every friendship begins with two strangers. And hallway magic, you just never know where it's going to happen. But, you know, in today's social media world, people don't go out as often as they used to. They're, you know, they're comforted in knowing people online, and that's great, and I love it, but I think getting out and actually seeing people and meeting new people is such an important part of life in general, and when hallway magic happens, it's absolutely beautiful, and it happens every day, and sometimes you don't realize it.
I love that concept. I also like small-town mentality. What is that for you?
Yeah, so I grew up in small-town New Hampshire, headed there this weekend. I can't wait. I haven't been home in a little while, and it's one of those approaches to life where, like, I see people on the street, no matter where I travel the world, I say good morning, I say hello, and it's just the way I was raised. It's just, you know, it's just a greeting. It's nothing more. I'm just saying hi. But at the same time, I remember, you know, I walked to the bank, and I knew Peggy behind the counter, and Bob was at the post office, you know, and the barber, and I knew all these people by name. And I think when you have that mentality and that approach to life, no matter where you live, even if you live in the massive city, it makes life more enjoyable, and people appreciate that. People like to connect with other people, and I try to always, you know, help a neighbor out. Same thing from a small town. It's the way I was raised. It's in my DNA, and I think life is a lot more fun when you live it that way.
That seems to be at the core of Amazing Things Will Happen, is have fun because we only get this one time.
Yeah, I mean, we do. I mean, life is so, so short, and it's one of those things where, you know, it's this weird thing where every day I worry, you know, I try not to worry, but, you know, it's like, today could be my last day. Who knows? So, you know, putting stuff off till tomorrow and not actually, and that's a core part of the book, too, is that I want people to enjoy their lives. People, you know, you hear the age-old thing about, you know, nobody asks for more work hours on their deathbed, and it's true. But I see people, I understand, you have to hustle, you have to work, but I'll also just sit down on the couch and cuddle with my wife or be goofy with my kids for an hour. I don't think enough people do that. You've got to enjoy it while we're here, because we've all got the same number of hours in the day, but we have no idea when our last hour is. So you've got to enjoy it.
It's absolutely true. And with social media today, you could work 24/7 and still not do everything there is to do.
Oh, easily, yeah. And if you're an entrepreneur of any sort, if you are your business, you know, every minute that you're not working is a minute that you could be losing money, or not losing, but not making money, or not, you know, an opportunity. But life is not only about the paycheck and only about the work. If it is, I mean, if that's the way you want to live your life, then, you know, I guess all the more power to you, but I want to have some fun while I'm here too.
Absolutely. However, with that said, there are some goals that people may want to achieve, like you going to Bentley University and didn't have the money. Back when you and I were going to college, we could do that. We could work multiple jobs and get someplace we wanted. What do you say to people today who may want to go to a college and don't quite have the money, when it's a challenge to actually get a job?
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because right now, I mean, the economy is, you know, it is. It's sort of getting better, but it's still getting kicked down. I honestly think if money is the only obstacle, I do think there's always a way to find it. Because let's face it, you know, I've always said, you know, even today, if all of a sudden I couldn't make any money, I could go find a job. It may be a horrible 9-to-5 or behind, you know, something way below my quote-unquote pay grade, but I could find a job. There's lots of jobs, it's just a matter of if it's enough money for you or whatnot. And I think, you know, like in my situation, when I'm going to Bentley, I mean, I had no way I could go there. And being an idiot, I charged my way through college, even though I was still working two jobs. I did. I mean, I came out of college with massive credit card debt because I wanted to go to that school. And, you know, we paid it off eventually. It wasn't an easy thing. It took a lot of sacrifice to make it work, but it was something that I truly wanted. I think if you want it bad enough and you have a tangible, you know, I want to do this, you can make it work. You know, there's always a way. Just the trick is finding it. I wish there was a magic answer to that, but there's not.
Yes, and that's good that we said that as well, I think, and good that people know, you know, we're looking at things realistically here. With that in mind, you also talk about moving on and knowing when it's time to, as opposed to just giving up. What's the difference between I quit and I'll never know how it turned out, or this really is not working, I have to move on?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you have to do a little soul searching when you realize, you know, this isn't working out, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship. You know, I think in any situation, you have to try first. The minute you start going, ugh, I don't know about this, you've got to work to fix it first and foremost. I've seen too many people give up too early and quit early without actually trying. And I think, you know, if you put in the try and you really work hard to try to make it better and it's still not what you need, then you need to realize that, you know what, this might be the time to quit. And I've seen way too many people stay in a job too long, stay in a relationship way too long. That one happens all the time. And it's like, listen, you're unhappy. It's not helping your employer or your partner, whichever case you're talking about. Just face the facts and move on. And yes, it's going to be painful. Yes, it's going to hurt. But in the long run, you're going to look back and go, wow, that was a really good decision. And there hasn't been, you know, I'm lucky that looking back that, you know, in all the cases where I have quit or left something, it's been the right decision in the long term. And it's never easy, because there's always repercussions, always. So it's never an easy decision.
This is Over Coffee with Dot Cannon. Perhaps you have a goal and a dream of making a living doing something you really love. Author C.C. Chapman knows all about doing that. C.C. is a professional content creator, social media marketing professional, and author of the new book, Amazing Things Will Happen. And what's fun about his book, and very refreshing, he doesn't say, do this and everything will be wonderful. He says, this may or may not work, but this is the mentorship that I've received over the years on my career path. And he says, it's possible with a lot of hard work to live your dreams, but warms up front, it's not going to be easy. You are going to make mistakes. And that's okay. What's one failure of yours that happened and you had to accept it and said okay and then moved on?
Well, there's been projects, you know, whether they were podcasts or, you know, book ideas that just never came to fruition. I mean, one of the biggest ones was a project back in the day that I was working on at a college. And it just, as much as I tried to get it off the ground, as much as I tried to convince enough people. It never worked, and it fell down, and it was a complete failure. And I don't want to go into details because of the client and everything, but it was a complete and utter failure. And it killed me, because for the longest time I was like, I should have been able to get that to work. I should have been able to convince the people because it was the right decision. And it just never went anywhere. And it still bothers me this day, because I would have loved to make it happen. But, you know, can't cry over spilt milk.
Exactly. With that in mind, what are some of the mountains to climb and the finish lines to cross that you have right now in your own life that you're working on?
So I've just launched a new company called the Cleon Foundation, and I'm trying to get that up and going. I mean, to really get it going, to get people aware of what it is and, you know, get a client base so that I can pay my bills. That's a big mountain anytime you launch something new. That's taking up a lot of my focus right now. Also, I'm working on, you know, it's one of those things where I want as many people as possible to read Amazing Things Will Happen, and it's still a fairly new book. So I'm still working on marketing for that, planning a big push for graduation time. So those two things right there are really, those are the mountains I'm climbing at the moment.
Before we say bye here, what does the Cleon Foundation do, and what's your vision for it?
So the Cleon Foundation, our motto is to make the world a better place through creativity. Last year, I had the pleasure of going to Ghana with the One Campaign and, you know, seeing the work being done on the ground there in Africa, and then reading this great Fast Company cover article talking about the League of Extraordinary Women. And those two things kind of combined, I said, you know what? I need to take my skills for marketing and for social and for planning and use them for good. So the Cleon Foundation's whole goal is we're a social business that's going to go in and work with companies so that they realize the importance of giving back, realizing that, yes, you can have a social good component and still make lots of money for your company. And we're going to work with them to find partners, you know, with NGOs and nonprofits that they can partner with that fit their culture so that it's more than just a money-giving relationship. And then at the same time, we're going to work with those nonprofits and new products that are coming out to market them to the world. And so everything from, you know, I was talking to a school in Haiti yesterday who's trying to teach leadership to young kids, or a travel company in Uganda who's trying to make sure they leave money behind every time they do a trip. We're going to work with them, all of those type of companies, to create programs that make the world a better place. And I'm excited to motivate people and work with companies. And, you know, my goal is for this to be my legacy. You know, I hope someday at least one of my kids is working for it, continuing the work I started.
And CeCe offered a final thought about the message of his book, Amazing Things Will Happen.
I think it's in all of us to live the life that we want to live. And what is amazing to each of us is different. And don't think that amazing has to be yachts and beaches. It's what you really want to do, what makes you happy. So everybody listening to this is entitled to live an amazing life, as long as they're willing to put in the work. So please make it happen. And if I can help in any way, please don't hesitate to reach out.
CeCe, thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.